Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word.
In the bulletin is a little, some kind words for everybody who works downstairs and has cooked and brought stuff and worked so hard. We just love Tom and Myron to death and their spouses for everything they have to put up with, and us too, and bugging them 24 hours, 7 days a week. A song we're singing especially for them today and for you guys. This great festival Sunday that Pastor Appreciation Sunday at our church is based upon Psalm 8, and it's called How Excellent. Doris wrote this. All of Psalm 8 is back here. That's also the lyrics to this song. She's amazing how she can read it and just put it into music, into song. We're going to sing an excellent song about how excellent the Lord is, and we also think of Tom and Myron.
O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth.
Excellent is thy name. Oh, that was awesome, man. Thank you so much. So kind of you guys.
You know, they've talked about moving the church, not the building, but the people, you know, and going to a different facility. Over the years, we've had, you know, different offers about doing that. And I never could stand the idea of it, because for 40 years for me here to the building is nothing. The church is the people. But there is so much that's happened in this building over the last 40 years. Those who have come through this place and found healing and help and then gone off to serve the Lord all over the place. It's just wonderful to be part of the kingdom of God. So the memories of it all are just beautiful. Hold tight to the sound of the music of living, happy songs of the laughter of children at play. Take my hand as we run through the sweet, fragrant meadows, making memories of what was today. For we have this moment to hold in our hands and to touch as it slips through our fingers like sand. Yesterday's gone and tomorrow may never come, but we have this moment today. The voice that I hear is a little girl calling for her daddy to hear just what she has to say. And that little boy running there by the hillside may never be quite like today. For we have this moment to hold in our hands and to touch as it slips through our fingers like sand. Yesterday's gone and tomorrow may never come, but we have this moment today. Tender words, a gentle touch, and a good cup of coffee, and someone who loves me and wants to stay. Hold them near while they're here, and don't wait for tomorrow to look back and wish for today. Take the blue of the skies and the green of the forest and the golds and the browns of the freshly mown hay. Take the pale shades of spring and this circus of autumn and weave you a lovely today. For we have this moment to hold in our hands and to touch as it slips through our fingers like sand. Yesterday's gone and tomorrow may never come, but we have this moment today. We have this moment today. Yeah, it's been a memory lane for me lately, just looking back at all these years. So Myron Gall was the founding pastor in 1975, and then he and the board and the rest of you all who are foolish enough to vote hired me when I was 25. Do the math. I have one of those cards from the government in my wallet now, you know?
It's just not right. It's wrong, you know? But it's just been a wonderful life. You know, I mean, if it just ended right now, bless God for what he's done. It's just so wonderful to be able to be part of this fellowship of believers and to be part of one another's lives. You know what we kind of vowed to one another some years ago, and that is we're going to love one another for the rest of our lives. And we're going to carry one another one by one to our graves until we meet together in glory. That's what we're going to do. Because we don't know what the future holds, right? We don't know. I told you shouldn't be a friend of mine because I've buried hundreds of them. You know what I mean? You shouldn't do it. I got more friends in Ottawa Park Cemetery than I have, you know, anywhere else. It's not good. Proud to be part of all of this and grateful for your help and your support to make this possible for me to be able, and Pastor Gall, to be able to preach the gospel for all of these years. All of us will be rewarded for what God has done in this. And I'm just so grateful for you guys. So Psalm 147, I'm going to read just two verses, verse 10 and 11. Before we do, let's pray together. Shall we pray? Let's. Lord, this is your word, and we are your people. Thank you that we're yours, even though we're not good. Thank you that you're changing us and you're helping us, but we all have so far to go. And I ask that you would rearrange our brains and our hearts today. Help us, Lord, as we view you the way you have revealed yourself, not the way our pagan world thinks of you, but the way you have spoken of yourself in the scriptures and revealed yourself. We're so grateful. Help us today, would you? Lord, all of us struggle with feeling bad about ourselves. Lord, all of us feel small, but there is no small person and there is no small place or small life. Help us, and we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, get this. Psalm 147, verse 10. Speaking of the Lord, his pleasure is not in the strength of the horse, nor his delight in the legs of man, personal strength. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. Let me read that verse one more time. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. Do you want to have a real vital relationship with God? I mean, you've come to Christ. You've been saved, as we put it. You've been forgiven. You've been given eternal life, and you've been born into the family of God, adopted into that family. It's a beautiful and wonderful thing. But our day-by-day walk, how is that with you? How's that going? How's your talking with God going? How is it? Don't you wish it was vital? Don't you wish it was better than it is? Don't you wish that it was something deeper, not so shallow? I tell you, how we try to substitute religion for a relationship. Talking to our friend Michelle, she's French-Canadian, and she was raised in the state church in that area, and all of the ritual, raised in it, and never heard the gospel ever, how to be right with God, what the sacrifice of Jesus Christ means for us sinners, what his resurrection meant. None of that. She didn't get any of that. All she got was the religious mumbo jumbo of all the ritual. Yeah, I know. Some people, it makes them feel good. Whatever. I don't get that. Okay? I really don't. Most of it just hides. What God wants with us is a simple one-on-one relationship, day by day. And what does it consist of? Well, the beautiful thing is, what I love about the Lord, it's simple. Myron says, you know, it's simple. We're the ones who make it complicated. Oh, how we love complicating religion so that people are dependent upon our church or our organization. But the Church of Jesus Christ isn't an organization. It's an organism of living believers, both in this world and in heaven. That's the church, not some organization based somewhere in some town. It's not that. It's that Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. It's so simple. So if you trusted Christ as your Savior, there's two things you need to walk in. Two things that are very simple, but two things that are profound. There are fearing him, and there is trusting in his everlasting love. Let's first of all look at what doesn't impress God. Okay, let's see what doesn't impress him in verse 10. His pleasure is not in the strength of the horse. Now you got to understand something. 3 millennia ago, when this was written, 3,000 years ago, the nuclear weapons of the day were horses, okay? So you can read into that whatever you want. He's not impressed by that. He's not impressed by great military strength. He's also not impressed, it says, with the legs of man. He's not impressed with people's personal strength. He's not impressed. When it says he's not impressed, he doesn't delight in the legs of men. How many of you girls turned to your friend and said, "I do"? How many of you did that? I saw you giggling. I just want you to know, as your pastor, I know what you're talking about. I know what you're thinking. He's not impressed with personal strength. He's not. A friend of mine is going through cancer, and all over their Facebook page, he keeps writing about how he's going to kick cancer's rear end. He puts it differently. No, you're not. You're at the mercy of that, my friend. And there's only one hope you have. His name is Jesus. And he's the only one who can choose to give people the gift of healing in white coats with stethoscopes and help them to understand you're at their mercy. Now, I know we always want to keep a positive attitude and all that, but God isn't impressed, okay? He's not impressed with all that stuff. Power, strength. You know, God is amazing. He doesn't turn his attention to the brilliant and the attractive, but to the brokenhearted and the wounded. That's why Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are," and here's the qualifiers, "weary and burdened." That's it. Are you lost? Are you broken? Are you disillusioned? Oh, you say that's bad. No, I say that's good. Okay, two things. Look at this. First of all, the Lord delights. Look at that. Look at that word delight. I think that is so neat. You want to really see what really lights his fire? What really just excites him? When someone fears him. Now look, I know what we think of when we think of fearing the Lord. We can't translate this word for fear here that we translate fear. It means awe, reverence, adoration, honor, worship, thankfulness, love, and confidence. Come up with a word for that, will you? They put it fear. It's coming to that realization that he is the one and only, that he has all authority, and he's the one we have to answer to someday. When you start taking him seriously, he loves that. He's not interested in you counting beads. He's not interested in you going through a bunch of religious stuff. He's interested in you seeing him and realizing that he is the one and the only. The Bible tells us the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. You want to have wisdom? You got to start at the right place. Know who he is. It was said all the time when I was younger, but I just heard it just recently. Somebody was talking about their family, and they said to me, "Tommy, we are God-fearing people." That's a great statement. That's a great thing to be able to say about someone. It means they ordered their life knowing that God is who he said he is. That's pretty great. I got a buddy who has a business, and he's fair in his prices to people. He doesn't gouge people. And he's in one of those businesses, well, where he's almost like a plumber. You know, plumbers, they can get you for anything when they have you, you know, over the barrel when you have water leaking everywhere. They can say any price they're going to say, and you're gonna pay that. He won't do that. You want to know why? He says, "Because I fear God. I know I have somebody I have to answer to." That's it. That is a great and wonderful thing. I guess I had this kind of feeling for my Grandpa Price. I miss that old man. Except I see him every day when I look in the mirror. You know, he's there. You know, I got some of this from him. But I remember how much he loved me and how much he mattered to our family. I remember how much my dad respected him. My dad would always call him Mr. Price. He would never call him by his first name, Mr. and Mrs. Price. He would say Mr. and Mrs. Price had the most beautiful marriage I've ever seen. They were always holding hands, you know. I had that feeling. And of course, my dad instilled it in us too because he had such an honor and respect. But I had that kind of awe of my grandpa. Well, in a much bigger way, we're told to have that fear of God. And that's a healthy and good and right thing. Remember Job? When God brought Job up to Satan, when the sons of God presented themselves before the Lord, Satan came among them, it says. And the Lord says to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job? He fears God and shuns evil." Do you see what fearing God does? It helps us to shun evil. We view him as number one. That is like the first step. We take him seriously. That's the beginning, but it's not the end. It doesn't stop here. There's more. Let's go to the next step. The Lord delights in those who fear him, who put their hope in his unfailing love. Now, the story of the Bible is this. The main theme was that Jesus Christ was going to come into the world. He came into the world, and he's coming back. That's the theme of the entire Bible. Read the scriptures throughout the Old Testament, the pictures of the coming Christ. Read Isaiah chapter 53, which takes my breath away every time. We have a copy of Isaiah from within 50 years of his life. That's the kind of manuscripts we still have of the scripture. It's within 50 years of Isaiah's life. And he perfectly depicts crucifixion hundreds of years before the Romans invented it in Isaiah 53. That he was going to come and suffer for us. That is the love of God. It's been revealed in Christ. That's why the Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only, that who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life, right? I mean, this is the incredible love of God. But I love this because it is unfailing, the love of God. Do you know it's unfailing? Not only do we fear God, but the next step is to step into his everlasting love, that is through Christ, to trust Jesus as your Savior. But when you do, I want you to see it. It's everlasting. It's not going to change. Speaking of Isaiah, go to Isaiah chapter 54, will you? Can you get over there? I want you to see this. When God, and as believers, you've got to see this because we beat ourselves up all the time. One of our greatest problems is that we have an accuser who speaks into our heads that we are no good, that we've gone too far, that we'll never make it, that we are embarrassing God by our lives. We do that all the time. We're beaten up by it all the time. I want you to see something about God's everlasting love for you. Isaiah 54. Look at beginning at verse 9. He explains to us that it isn't just him choosing to love us. It's a covenant he's entered into with us. And look what he compares it to. Listen to this. Verse 9 of Isaiah 54. To me, that the Lord speaking, to me, this is like the days of Noah. Remember when God sent the flood on the earth and destroyed the earth? After that, he said, when I swore that the waters of Noah would never again cover the earth. After the great flood, the Lord said to Noah, look, I put my bow in the sky, the rainbow, as a reminder to me to never do this again. It's a covenant that judgment is done and I'm not going to do that again. Now, God has made a covenant with you. So now I have sworn not to be angry with you, never to rebuke you again. Do you hear that? Once you have been forgiven by him, after you've come to Christ, so now I have sworn not to be angry with you, never to rebuke you again. Though the mountains be shaken and the hills be removed, yet my unfailing love for you shall not be shaken, nor my covenant of peace be removed. Do you see that? If you have come to Christ, I'm telling you on the authority of God's word, he is not mad at you. He isn't. To me, that's incredible. Let me show you something else too. Go to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55. Do you see how that covenant works? It's eternal. It's unchanging. You have not surprised him by your failure. You have not chased him away because of your sin. He wants you to run to him, not run away from him. I have a family member who was going to go into the ministry. Not that that's the greatest thing to do. I mean, we all need to find out what our gifts are and give that away to the world, right? And not everybody is meant to do this or to do what you do. I mean, we all have different gifts. But he was all really excited about the idea of being able to serve the Lord in this kind of capacity. But he struggled with himself. He's a huge alcoholic now. I love him. I love him, and Jesus loves him. And when I talked to him about it recently, a couple of months ago, he said, Tommy, now I can't talk openly about being a Christian because I'm such a screw-up, his word. I'm such a screw-up. I don't want to embarrass him or make him look bad. I said to him, he's not mad at you. You got to run to him with all your brokenness, with all your sin, with all that stuff. Look at Isaiah. I'm going to pick a verse out. I'm going to pick out verse 8 of Isaiah 55. We have quoted this to ourselves whenever we go through hard times. Whenever we don't understand something, we quote this verse. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. My thoughts than your thoughts. Oh, the Lord understands. He knows. By the way, that's true. You know, he knows what we're going through. That's not the context. Myron says, if you quote a Bible verse out of context, if it's not in context, it's just con You can use the Bible on people like crazy, pulling it out of context. Let's look at the context. Look at this context. It'll blow you away. Verse 6. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord, and he, God, will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. And you think, really, you can forgive me? What I have done? What I have chosen to do? Knew it was wrong? And God can forgive me? How can you do that? And the Lord says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. You got to know how he thinks. You know, I know how he thinks. He loves you and he will never, ever let you go. Do you get it? It is so important that we understand this because we keep ourselves in the fear of God, beating ourselves up all the time. And he wants us to run to him and just be open about it. Now he'll change us. He'll help us. I'm better than I used to be. I got a long way to go. His way of thinking, fear the Lord, and trust in his unfailing, his everlasting love. I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to stop hiding. Remember what Adam and Eve did when they first fell into sin and the human race fell into this mess we're in today? They hid themselves. God came looking in the garden, of course, knowing all things. He knew where they were. He asked them a question. He knew the answer to it. He asked a question for them. Where are you? Where are you? Listen, it's time to stop hiding. It's time to just simply be honest with him and trust. That's what I'm asking you to do. To trust in his eternal, unending love for you. It will never cease, but you gotta trust it. You gotta understand, fearing God is one thing. That's not having a relationship with him. That's just, you know, realizing, you know, the lion's in the room and you better be careful, right? But that's not a relationship with God. A relationship is making a choice to trust in his eternal love. Stepping into that. When we come to God, it isn't just believing he exists and who he says he is. Each one has to take our own personal step to make it real. And to step onto what he has said, that he will love us and make us his and take us to be with him and to be ours now, his unfailing love. My buddy Roger Campbell is talking to Cheryl today. Their old house on Waterford Hill is gone. I mean, it's sold. Young guy bought it, right? Is that what you, Brenda, I think you told me that. That old house, so much took place there. So much writing took place that changed the lives of people. I mean, only heaven is going to tell us what was accomplished through Pauline and Roger Campbell's lives. But the kids have sold the house. Cheryl says she can't drive down that street right now. I know. Something happened in Roger's last days of his life. He had failed for about a year and had a lot of problems, just a lot of problems. And he had lost his ability to speak. And Pauline told me she was in the kitchen and Roger was in the family room. So it's over there and she was doing something. She heard him struggling to try to say something, and he just couldn't get it out. But eventually, after thinking about it long enough, she realized he was praying, and he said, I trust. That's all he could say. Are you trusting today? Or are you going through this whole religious thing just because it makes you feel better about how messed up you are? What is it? You know what? You can be his. You can be forgiven. You can be his forever by simply trusting in his unfailing love that he has revealed in Jesus Christ, the Savior, the one and the only. You think about that. Let's stand together to pray. Come on, stand up. Let's pray together, shall we pray? Let's pray. Lord, here we all are. You know every detail of what we struggle with. You know all of this. You know these lies in our head that takes our real failures and plugs them into a Marshall amplifier and cranks them up in our head so it's all we can think about. We know that this is an attack of the evil one who is the accuser of the brethren, as the scripture says. We reject that And we are choosing to trust in your unfailing love. You have promised, Jesus, that for all who believe in you, that we are in the Father's hand and nothing can pluck us out of his hand. Here we are. Lord, help us today and tomorrow and the next day to keep choosing to trust in your unfailing love and approaching you and dealing with our stuff. Thank you for our time together today, Lord. You are so kind. You're so good to all of us, and we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. All God's people said, amen. Amen. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.